Wow, old. I don't know what part I am, old but not old, amen? We'll just have to decide that later on, amen? And it's so good to be back at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Once again, we're just so honored to be with you. My mind is rushing, my thoughts are rushing, so you'll just have to bear with me. Let me kind of get settled in. We are very grateful to you for your sacrifice, your giving, to be a part of our ministry. Of course, we are the Pierces, my beautiful wife, Karen, and of course, my precious daughter, Jenny, and I'm so thankful for my dear wife and her love for the ministry. And of course, we do, like I said, we serve as the deputation director, the national representative for Armed Forces Baptist Missions. I want to thank you for how kind that you have been to us, and what a joy it has been already. My wife said, my daughter's like, Daddy, what are you living in the closet for? I said, that's where all the snacks are, amen? And so we kind of like that prophet's chamber. And I wish in college they would have gave me that for my dorm room, amen? And that would have been pretty good. But we're so grateful. And once again, Dr. Vogelin, thank you so much for your years of faithfulness. I mean that. And Pastor Armacost, Brother Olson, and my dear friend, Mr. Fly, amen? And I know you've had some recent health struggles. What a blessing. Hey, we ate a lot of ribs and macaroni and cheese out there. Amen. And I thank God for Mr. Fly. That man can still, he got that chicken touch. Amen. And we've had a lot of good chicken over the years. And, of course, to see Anthony and his wonderful family. Anthony's got preservation about him. Amen. I don't know what it is, but he's kept that young look. And I think it's D. Amen. You just see so many great faces, the Maulers. Thank you for your years of service in Mongolia. It speaks. God has used you in a great way. I met a guy that was a printing ministry, and he spoke very highly of you folks. And thank you for your years of faithful service. I mean that. And of course, the Olsons in Africa. So many things. And we're privileged what God has allowed us to do as a family. We've been serving our military and their families since 1998, and I'm thankful for that. And what I'd like to do tonight, if it'd be all right, I like to honor all of our veterans. If you've served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard, or you're currently serving, if you'd stand with me tonight. What an honor. If it's all right, let's give these heroes a round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I sure appreciate your service. You're a part of what we're all about, and I thank God for you. Many have asked over the years, what gave you that vision and burden for military missions? Of course, many of you know that I served in the United States Army from 1987 to 1991, and I already had in my mind, I knew at the end of that, going into 1990, I knew that I was making a decision to come to school. I was actually on an early out program, but I'll never forget that day the colonel came in, and he always called me. At that time I was a specialist Pierce, and he said, Harold. And I was shocked when he talked to me. He said, I went up the chain of command. I was going to try to give you that early out. He said, but we're going to have to take you to Operation Desert Storm. And there we were deployed to Southwest Asia, of course. And, we served God faithful. There's Brother Greg Liss. He served God faithful there at Fort Hood, and our chaplain was spread out. One of the things that the Lord gave us the privilege to do was to be able to lead our unit in Bible study. The chaplain was quite spread out, and I watched several of my peers get saved, and that was a wonderful thing. But anytime you go into a combat situation, you may not know what that entails. Of course, we were in combat operations, and the Lord chose fit to take three of my friends. And over the years, I've asked the Lord, how would he want me to use that? And I believe my friends would want me to do what we continue to do, was to make sure that every man, woman, boy, and girl associated with the military would have a clear opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. So we've done our best over these years to try to reach our men and women. And, of course, our Armed Forces Baptist Missions, we spent 13 years planting churches. We've been in Schweinfurt, Heidelberg, Würzburg, and Stuttgart, and we rebuilt one church. We helped two missionaries establish ministries, and then our last work, we planted right there in Stuttgart, Germany. And after being over there 13 years, PTSD was never really diagnosed until as of later years. And it's always been there, shell shock, freeze. If you study military history, you can see it. And I noticed these things that were here. I think one time I scared some of the guys in the college dorm. I had a flashback one night, and the guys were a little uptight in the dorm room. But all these little things kept coming out. And in 2011, I came back and I talked with our general director, and he said, "Brother Harold," he said, "I think that I'd like you to go get a full physical from the VA," and I did. And I was diagnosed with PTSD and mild depression. And one of the things that helped me was number one, the Word of God. Amen. My pastor, a good church. And so at that time, there was other things. So the VA said, "Mr. Pierce, we think it would be wise if you would stay under our care and stay in the States." At that time, our hearts were broken. We were used to being in one area, planting a church, reaching soldiers. And Brother Carragher, with his gracious spirit, came beside me and he said, "Brother, I'd like you just to go out and represent Armed Forces Baptist Missions. I'd like you to be involved with the recruiting." And then later on, it became the deputation director. And I'm thankful for the Lord's grace. And I say all that with our goal is to plant churches. We need churches outside of military bases more than ever. We've seen 120 churches planted since 1964. Our other area of ministry is our Serviceman Center type ministry. It's a place to come, relax, unwind, grab a bite to eat, but most importantly, hear a clear presentation of the gospel before they would leave that center, then getting them involved with that local church that supervises that ministry. Then we have missionaries that are specifically working in veterans' homes and veterans' facility. You never want to let one know that they're forgotten, amen. It's very important that we let these soldiers and these veterans know that they're not forgotten. Then our last, what has grown also is through our PTSD ministry. Our general director is a 26-year retired sergeant major. He wrote the Army recruiting material through the recruiting, and through his 26 years, he experienced several traumatic events. The first one was when he was out on training operations, and he had a PC roll over, and he was providing the breath of life underneath water, and God stirred his heart in that. And then the second time, there was a air crash, and they were called to stand guard, but later that became in retrieving casualties. And then the last one, which really changed his life, he was at Fort Bliss at the Sergeant Major's Academy, and Willie was there. Willie was born again. Willie was saved. Brother Carragher was a staunch Catholic, and Willie was one of his best friends, would witness to him. He had a love for the Lord, and he constantly told Doug the need of salvation. Well, one day they were out running a PT test, and he noticed Willie wasn't doing as well. And when Willie came back in, Willie fell directly on his face. And to make it sure what happened, Willie's heart really blew out. And he died in Brother Carragher's arms, and Brother Carragher was trying to revive him. And as a result of that, God got a hold of his heart. A gentleman led him to the Lord. He attended Hillcrest Baptist Church right there. So he continued his military career. Later started churches, helped start churches in Fort Drum. I met Brother Carragher when I was in Germany. And he helped start a church that we helped serve at in Heidelberg, Germany. And then came and preached for us, had the opportunity to be on his ordination council. So God put us together. But, you know, there's just not been a lot of biblical material on how to deal with PTSD. So he took extensive notes over the years. And so what we did, the first book, we took the seven things that the VA recognizes as symptoms of dealing with PTSD, and we've tried to provide a biblical perspective on that. And as a result of that, we started our Wounded Spirits ministry, where people are able to come, learn, and get help, but also train leaders to go out and start groups in local churches. We now have over 40 groups started. As of since 2014, since the writing of the first book, we have seen over 3,000 saved that we know of. And there's a majority of them are in local churches being helped. And we're thankful for that type of ministry that God is using. So this is very dear to our heart. I travel probably to about 4 or 5 camps a year, week long. Then now we're involved with going in like to 2 or 3 day seminars, helping churches, helping those who are dealing with that, but also maybe helping leadership as far as maybe having a group in their area. We're thankful for that. You know, it's just not military that suffers with that. Many civilians, first responders, firefighters, hospitals, workers. So there's quite a big realm. So we're thankful for this ministry that God has brought. We have distributed 1.2 million Bibles, and we're thankful for that. God's given us 53 families. We're averaging 2 families a year, 1 going to the field. In 2016, we saw the Glenn family first go over to Italy. Now they're serving in Hawaii, and I'm thinking of a reason that I need to go help the Glenns. Amen. And our family need to go help the Glenns, but they're serving in Hawaii. They've done a wonderful year. Wayne Keast is now serving with the PTSD ministry there at Fort Bragg at the Jump School. I met Wayne at a Sword of Lord conference. He was walking down, just retired. And he kind of was looking at the booth. I said, "You look rather interested." He said, "I am." He said, "I just retired from the Army." And I asked him what he did. He was a retired chaplain, a good man. He's actually sent out of, used to be Bobby Robertson's church there. And I said, "So what are your plans?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "I've got a plan for you." I said, "What would you think about becoming a missionary with Armed Forces Baptist Mission?" So I said, "Hey, Brother Doug," I said, "I think we need to talk to this gentleman." By Friday, we were meeting with him. Amen. And they raised their support, doing a wonderful job. We had the wonderful privilege in 2017, the Phelps are in the Indianapolis area. They're working PTSD ministry there. But I want to share with you, 2017, the Mahaney family came with us. Drew and Leela graduated from Fairhaven Baptist College, and probably one of the best families that I worked with as a deputation director. They have a sweet spirit. I told Drew, "Just let Leela sing and you're going to be all right." Amen. And she loves the Lord, and God has used them. They raise their support. They're in Waiwan, South Korea, right at Camp Carroll. The church is doing well. They've just given their heart to God. And I'm thankful for Drew and Leela, the work that they're doing. And so I know your investment has made a difference in their life. Thank you so much. And then 2018, we saw the Schrocks. They went out to Fairchild Air Force Base in Washington. I got to spend some time with them. Now, David Russell, where Drew is, was able to turn that church over to the Mahaneys. He had to come back. So the Russells went to Fort Knox, Kentucky. I just spent a couple weeks out there. Now, you got to understand David Russell. Now, if you've never met David Russell, he's a very interesting man. He kind of my blood. He's a retired sergeant major. He was a tanker, amen, right at Fort Knox. Matter of fact, he started a church at Fort Knox. He took me on post and showed me the exact place where I did basic training. And it was pretty amazing. So David Russell, when he teaches like a sergeant major. When he preaches, he's like, now, we got a task. This is the task. Then they'll look and say, now, we got a standard. This is the standard. Then they'll say, now, we got a condition. And that's the way David Russell raised his support. He's done a wonderful job. He planted 2 churches in Korea. His family's health. He came back. And he now planted Shalom Baptist Church right out there at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then, of course, the Kurzinski family, they just finished their deputation there. They're at Fort Benning. Then God did something this year that we are very humbled, very just excited about. I'm not sure, maybe many of you are familiar with the Wesco family. Of course, they served in Cameroon. They 2018, they finished their support and they went over to Cameroon, and Mrs. Wesco's husband was shot, and the family had to come back. Well, through that, they served at Pastor Brennenstahl's church there at Wildwood in Wisconsin there, and they just wasn't sure because they deal mostly with overseas missionaries, and they reached out to Brother Carragher. The family did. He's been personally working with Stephanie, the family, trying to encourage them. And as a result, she just said, you know, she wants to use this for the Lord. She just wants God's will in everything. And as a result of that, Stephanie has become a missionary with Armed Forces Baptist Missions. God is allowing her to raise her support to balance that out. But she's already working with about 38 people. She's counseling widows, and she's working with those who have gone through severe traumatic events. And I'll tell you, it's just exciting how God brings people your path in your path. So if you'll remember them, then our area, we're involved with the recruiting end. We work a lot with recruiting. We're in colleges and we're in churches, recruiting missionary families. Also, we're involved with the training. We believe missionaries are sent out of local churches. We work with local churches and that pastor on training that missionary, prepare them for deputation. Then also after on deputation, then afterwards, we like to assist them. We like to provide boots on the ground. And we're thankful for that opportunity. And then God placed us at Fort Hood. We were out west for several years since we came back in 2000, from 2012 to 2016. We were in California serving in our sending church and reaching colleges, reaching churches out there, trying to make up our support from coming back there from overseas. God bless that. But I went out Fort Hood and I started preaching around Fort Hood again. And I saw all them soldiers there. I saw them families, and I began to pray. Our family began to pray. I just came back from Korea, and Brother Carragher, my pastor, we just felt like that we needed someone right there at Fort Hood again. And God's been so gracious to us. There's over 40,000 active duty. That's a pretty huge base there. Two divisions. Used to be two heavy combat divisions. Now it's a heavy combat division. Then there's a support and mobilization division that's there. So there's over 40,000, 189,000 family members, 38,000 retirees, and 18,000 government workers, and then also the civilian population that's around Killeen. So we're thankful. We serve at Northside Baptist Church, Pastor Garber. Our family and I are very thankful for the church there. If you'll come in the church, you're going to find several retirees. You're going to find several active duties. The church has really got a good name as far as outreach, and we thank God for that. And you'll find my dear wife, Jenny's going in our Christian school this year. She's traveled on the road every year. My family has numerous miles. And this year we're putting Jenny in our Christian school. And so we just felt like we didn't want to leave nobody out. So Pastor and I were talking, and my wife, and we just felt like that there needed to be something for the singles. So every Sunday that you come to Northside Baptist Church, we offer a singles luncheon. And we're thankful for that opportunity to not leave one individual out. And we're thankful for that. There's other ministries, bus routes and things like that, that we help on. Do a lot of on-post visiting with different families there. But I'm thankful. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. You're the reason that missionaries can go. You're the reason that missionaries can sustain their work. And that's to you. Thank you so much. You're so kind. And we do thank God for you. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Anthony, do you remember when we jumped in the back of the bus with that Halloween mask and scared your brother? Praise God. I wish I could say I was always good in college. And it was a great time, amen. Anthony was cleaning the bus, so we went back. I don't know, it could have been Gino or somebody down there, you know. Gino was pretty calm, amen. And I think we all just jumped in the back, and Tony was up there, the bus cleaning, and we just started like, you know, it was pretty good, you know. And it was a great time. Acts chapter number 1, thank you for the college. Thank you for the investment that you put in my life. Many valuable truths that I've learned here, valuable principles, has helped us over the years. If there's one principle, you know, is find God's will and do it, but don't quit. There's been so many times we've just wanted to give up. But there's just been something that was instilled not only through the years, but even here, was just to dig down and ask the Lord to help you and continue on. No matter what circumstances, no matter what trials, just don't quit and watch God work. When we want to quit, folks, God is still working. So we see here, but God sees everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? And That's a wonderful thing. Let's go ahead and the book of Acts, chapter number 1. The book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 6, if you will. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and unto the Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, there's some introduction that we'd like to talk about. First of all, a few things. Jesus was shown himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs. These things were things that could not be denied. Now, you know, old doubting Thomas, he came along and he said, Lord, is it you? Now, I love how the Lord approached Thomas. He didn't criticize him. He didn't get upset with him. But you know what he did? He assured him that he was who he said he was. Amen. I'm so glad that we have a God that assures us in our doubt that he is who he is. The second thing that we see there, he gave them the command to be a witness. He said, I really want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a foreteller. I want you to go out and tell every man, woman, boy, and girl about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, the wonderful thing that we see here, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a command, but I'm going to help you to be able to do that. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my dunamis. I'm going to give you that ability to get the work of done. I'm going to give you the ability to be of power. You know what? Years ago, I'm glad that we're learning. We don't have to do this thing alone. Amen. This is a tremendous work here, and there's not one person that can do it. It takes a team. It takes each other. As we talked about, Pastor preached about unity this morning, and it takes the hand of God. And God said, listen, I'm going to help you to go out and tell every man, woman, boy, and girl that which you have seen, that which you've heard, and I'm going to help you. How many maybe you've had to teach a class and maybe you were offered the opportunity to teach a class and you're like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then as you get involved, you see how the hand of God helps you to be able to teach and work with that class, work with them students. Maybe you're the type, oh, I could never work with children. I'm an old grouch. Amen. And maybe God has put you in with children and God's given you the spirit and the ability to be able to relate and help children. And see, he said, listen, I'm going to give you that command, but I'm going to help you. God's not going to put a responsibility on you that he cannot help you with. Amen. And then the third thing, we see the gathering of Christ with his followers, and he was going back to heaven. Of course, we know John chapter 14, where he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I used to preach to the military families. Every 2 years, officers would leave. Every 3 years, enlisted would leave. Sometimes within a 20-something year period, they might move 8-9 times. It doesn't count major schools. And I remember I used to tell the ladies, God is not building military housing in heaven. He's building mansions. Man, even the ladies would say amen. They would get excited. But you know, folks, I say this, hey, we may not have much here, but thank God we got a mansion there. That's a wonderful thing. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I'll come again. And then the next thing that we find, he leaves him continuing to build his church. Of course, we believe that Jesus started his church with his disciples there in the New Testament. Then in the book of Acts, he empowered the church and he told Peter, says unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, he was talking himself, the cornerstone. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, I want you to do something. I want you to start right here in Jerusalem. And I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl, that which you have seen and that which you have heard. Then he said, once you get done in Jerusalem, I want you to go out into Judea. And I want you to tell every man, boy, and girl, that which you have seen and that which you have heard. Then he comes along and he said, I want you to go into Samaria. Now remember, some of them didn't want to go into Samaria, did they? They would take that other route and go around. But Jesus set the example. Do you remember when he went down and the lady was at the well and he began to ask and he began to inquire and he knew everything about her. You know, God knows everything about us, doesn't he? And he began to inquire and she was struck and she asked if she was thirsty. And he said, I'm going to give you water where you'll never thirst again. Let me tell you, folks, she's not thirsty no more. Amen. She drank from the water of heaven. And thank God she got saved by the grace of God. And he said, I want you to go down unto Samaria. Thank God here's a church that is going down to Samaria. You're reaching out to those areas that need to be reached out to. And maybe we'd be willing to go into them areas. Now, I want you to notice Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Them are them areas that we can do locally. Amen. Then there's the uttermost. That's conjunction. Same thing going on. The same thing that's going on here was the uttermost. And the uttermost, that's where they were putting hands and sending them on out of the local church and going around the world and reaching people with the gospel. And churches were started. We see it through Paul's ministry and many others where missions was continuing to move out. And let me say this. It's just important. I believe everybody, whether Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, if God's put you here, everybody ought to be the point in their life where they say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Lord, if you call me to mission field, I would be willing to go to the mission field. But you know what? God doesn't call everybody to go. But he calls some to send. Then he said, I want you to go into the uttermost. Now, as you look at this verse, you're going to see that this verse highlights progress. Progress. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. You know what that tells me? The Lord is still building his church. Amen. People are still being saved. People are still being baptized. Young people still serving God. Isn't it a wonderful thing how the Lord is working? You know, let me say this. Love your young people. Stay with them. Encourage them. I deal with college students around and young people. We gotta remember these young people are facing things in this generation that many of us have never faced before. And a lot of times what they need is someone come to side them and say, listen, I want you to know I'm praying for you. We're with you. We're behind you. I'm glad that this is a church that puts an investment in young people. But tonight, I want you to think about this thought. This is the reason we can still reach the world for Christ. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. People are still being reached. Let's pray. Father, help us now. These next few minutes, I pray. Lord, thank you for Fairhaven Baptist Church. What an honor. It's very humbling to be here. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the staff. Be with Pastor and Mrs. Dameron as they're in Africa. Lord, just encourage that group, Lord. Enlarge their coast, as Japheth prayed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, go over with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. The book of Mark, chapter number 8. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Think about that. The Bible's talking about, what if a man has everything in this world, but his soul is not being taken care of by the Lord? What is he going to gain? Nothing. He'll spend an eternity in hell. Or what is there that a man shall give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing we can do in exchange for our salvation. It was the Lord's finished work on Calvary for you and I. See, the scripture is making emphasis about replacing the material over spiritual of having eternal life. See, I'd rather have a nothing in this old world. But if I have Jesus, I have everything. Amen. Number one, that is the value of missions. See, you could put a price tag on a house, a boat, a car. But friend, we can't put a price tag on a soul of a man, woman, boy, and girl. Jesus thought so much that he was willing to die for each of us. You know, I'm thinking about that. In the summer of 1980, I was saved. A family came down the road, asked me to come to church. And the only reason I went, because they played basketball there. And I'll never forget, I heard the preaching. And I just step out. But finally, one day, I just sat in the back. And I heard, for the first time, a clear presentation of the gospel. And I remember walking forward and someone taking the word of God and showing me how that I could go to heaven. And we moved around quite a bit. Our family was really disjointed. And I'll never forget on a Tuesday night around 1983-84, a pastor and a bus captain knocked my door in Windham, Ohio, and invited me to ride a Sunday school bus. So it was through that bus route, through that bus captain, that I was able to grow in the Lord. I'm so glad that they didn't look and say, no, we don't need to go in that area. But you know what? They had a burden. And let me say this. If you were the only one living, Jesus would have died for you. See, that tells me the priceless thing that the Lord did. Number two, I think not only the value of missions is it's priceless, but I think that it's priority. We ought to do all that we can. Thank God that what Pastor was talking about this morning, that every ministry is geared to reach the lost soul of a man, woman, boy, and girl. Then once that person is reached, this ministry is geared so people can grow in grace. What a wonderful thing. I think that it's priority. Then I think the value of missions, it's profitable. Now, well, let me ask you, what are we going to take with us when we pass from this old earth? Not a thing. Not a thing. Not one thing. But this is what I call the treasure principle. Listen, folks, we can't take it with us, but when we invest in the work of God, we can send it ahead. Amen? Now, you think about it. You're supporting, you're sending several missionaries out of this church. You're supporting several missionaries. God's called you here. God's called that missionary there. When that missionary sees someone get saved, guess who's going to get the same reward? You are, my dear brother. Todd, right? See? You are. You're going to get the same reward. Because God called that missionary there and God called you here. You know, for many years, people say, oh, Brother Pierce, your family, you're one of our heroes going to the field. No, you're one of our heroes because you would take time, probably work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, put money in that offering so that you could write a check every month so someone can walk down the street and hand out a gospel tract. You're the hero to be able to send missionaries around the globe. See, that's the treasure principle. I think that's a pretty good investment. Amen. Number two, the vision of missions. The Bible says, let's go over to Proverbs. I know contextually it's talking about when there was open vision and no vision. But in Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I like vision. Amen. How many of you like to have good vision? Something's happened to me over time. I've been going back to the VA for several years. I got an eye doctor there. And you know what was funny? You come back from the VA, the guy looked at me. He said, Mr. Pierce, he said, I hate to break the bad news. I said, what's that, doc? He said, you're a 40-year-old in a 50-year-old man's body. I said, give me a high five, doc. It was pretty neat. And so I started needing glasses a couple years ago. I had to get progressive lenses, you know, and they're already talking cataract surgery one day. And I'm like, well, I hope that's years down the road. But you know what? We like to see, don't we? How many of you ever wake up at night and you start walking around your house and your lights are off and you're trying to adjust your eyes? And how many's had a table that's been sitting there for several years? And you know that table's there. And you hit that table. How many? You have revival right about that time. Amen. You're just praying for everybody. No, you're like, man, that old table, and hope you're not cussing, amen. And you hit that table. Hey, everybody wants the right vision. You know, the Lord wants us to have a vision for missions. You know what kind of vision He wants us to have? He wants us to have a clear vision. That says, Lord, let me see. Thank God. I think every church ought to send their pastor and their staff on missions trip. I think, thank God, this church opens up missions trips to go overseas because that changes your life. I'll never forget years ago when I was at Fort Hood, Texas with Pastor Harvey. He says, hey, Brother Harold, let's go ahead and go down into, maybe Brother Greg List was on it. Where you at, Greg? Did you go on that missions trip with us?
Yeah, remember when we went down there and we had all these tracts, man, we were passing out. We went in there and Pastor Harvey said, look, Brother Harold, there's brown gold. I was flesh, man. I was looking for money, man. He said, no, dummy. Look at all the people. It changed my life. What did Lamentations said? He said, mine eye affecteth my heart. Jesus looked out upon the multitudes and he came down. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what he said? He said, listen, let's not work it out in our wisdom. Let's don't work it out in modern, what we would say, maybe an agency method or something of that nature. You know what he said? He said, let's pray that God would send missionaries around the globe. He prayed. He said, let's pray. Now there's that, Lord, let me see. I hope tonight you see. I mean, you can't help but go on a route and go out through the streets and not let the Lord let you see. Then there's that concerned vision that says, Lord, I see, but Lord, I'd be willing to go. Who's willing to go? Hey, we need some military missionaries. We got some areas that need, maybe you're the type that said, I'm not called to be a missionary pastor, but I'll assist somebody. Who's going to be the next one? I'll never forget, we were in a church one night. We were preaching and a couple was retired. They had this fifth wheel. I mean, man, this was the thing. I mean, it was like a bus. That's my kind of... Listen, I went to the field enough. I still have not gone camping over the years. Maybe I've gotten soft, I guess. I don't know. The guys in Germany said, Pastor, let's do an overnighter. And them like, Pastor, we go to the field all the time. I said, I think the boys will like it. So we took all the boys. He said, now, Brother Harold, what did you do? I had this big, big van. I took out the seats and I got me a mattress that I sat in the back. And they're like, that's not camping. And so this couple had this big old camper. I mean, you drive it like a bus. Now, that's what I think camping ought to be like, you know. I mean, you have the luxuries of life and you get out there, and I'll never forget that this couple came to us and we're sitting in the back, and Karen and Jenny, Karen and Jenny was with me, and we're sitting in, this couple says, hey, we'd like to go help a missionary. We'd like to come beside him and we'd like to do just whatever he needs help with. Man, the pastor came over. All of a sudden, the pastor started jumping up and down. I didn't know what to do. So I just said, Pastor, give me a second. So I went and saw like four or five church members. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, see your pastor over there? Don't let him do that by himself. I said, could you come over and jump with your pastor? So about four or five church members started running up. They started jumping up and down too. Hey, this couple went beside some missionaries and did a great work for the Lord. See, that's that concern vision. Who's going to be the next family, next individual, send out a Fairhaven Baptist Church and say, I want to reach the world for Christ? Who's going to have that concerned vision? And then there's that last part. There's that considerate vision. Lord, not only do I see, Lord, let me go, but Lord, let me be a sender. Boy, what a joy it is to send missionaries. You're in your stewardship month. What is God going to use you to help give this year to send missionaries? Really, you're having a business meeting for the world this month. You're having a business meeting for the lost this month. Lord, let me be a sender. Listen, it's just as important to be a sender as it is a goer. And it's important to be a sender. Man, thank God. You know, I'm not your anaconda guy. I think I remember being with Brother Olson in Texas. We were eating lunch, and he talked about how his son jumped over a cobra. Now, that's not Brother Harold. I shoot cobras. If I go to the anaconda, I have a 50 caliber. Amen. I have a machine gun. Now, if God called me, I'd go, but I'd be nervous. I have issues. I think y'all realize that. Hey, but God calls people to the anaconda. I'd be gladly to put some money in missions so a guy can go to the anaconda. Yeah, no problem at all. See, that's that considerate vision. Lord, let me be a sender. Then Acts chapter number 2, the book of Acts. I love this chapter. The church was moving forward. It was great. God was empowering. And then we come to verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word, they were being saved. They were being baptized. And the Lord was adding unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread. This had to be a Baptist church, amen. They were fellowshipping. They were having potluck in this church, amen. They were going, hey, I love military churches. Man, military churches, it has so many ethnic backgrounds. I remember one time we had a couple from Mexico. Man, she made enchiladas. Man, it was glorious. That's why I jumped up like about 250 pounds, 40 pounds when I was in Germany. And I'm a foodie. I like food. Amen. And, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't cuss. I mean, you got to eat, praise God. And then you got to exercise it off. And it's always a challenge. Amen. And I remember we had a couple from Mexico, man, enchiladas. We had couples from the Philippines. We had, the little things like egg rolls. Lumpias, man, them were glorious. Man, I got to tell you, when I was in California, our church, we had several Filipinos in the church. You know what they would do? They would eat and invite us to watch Manny Pacquiao fight. Amen. So I used to eat and watch Manny fight. Amen. It was great, man. It was just good living. Then I'll never forget, we had a young couple come. They were from Korea. Now, some of you might not. I like kimchi. Amen. That old messed up cabbage. Man, like kimchi, rice, a bulgogi, man. That is godly stuff. Man, this couple started coming to church. And I was like, I didn't talk to him about really joining the church. And she asked Karen, hey, does your husband like egg rolls and kimchi? I said, man, we got a potluck next week, man. I was pretty excited. But they became church. And I'm telling you, this church had to have potluck. It had to be Baptist. They were growing. They were in one accord. Continuing daily. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the, it's the Lord that adds to the church. We work, he adds, daily as such as should be saved. You say, what was it? It was the victory of missions. Is the souls being saved, glorifying our Lord. I think over the years, many men that have been called to preach, that have been reached through the military ministry. I'll never forget, we used to have this jug. That first church, we support 17 missionaries at $100 a month. And we had this collagen jug there. How many know collagen water? It stood like this. And so during the offering, we'd have all of our little kids come up and put change in the offering. And I'll never forget, old Jimmy and Jacob started coming to the church. And the Graham, he was wanting to go to the 82nd Airborne. They were saved. They were reached. They were baptized in the church. And I'll never forget, they were learning the Bible. Amen. And we'd sing Victory in Jesus, and they'd sit in that back row. And when it said, he plunged me to victory, well, Jimmy thought it said, he punched me to victory. So he'd reach over and slam his little brother real hard. And I was like, man, there's a fight going. Dad, you see Dad be going crazy back there? Well, Karen, them boys got saved in junior church. They begin to learn the story of David and Goliath. Well, I get a call about 2 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, can you come over to the military hospital? I said, sure. I said, I'll meet you over there. And I said, Brother James, and he said, Pastor, I got to explain it to you when you come. I said, okay, brother. I said, I'm on my way. So I get over there and find out these boys were on the top bunk bed. Jimmy was Goliath. And Jacob was David. He knocked Jimmy off the bunk bed. And the dad came and he said, I slayed the giant. He's like, Pastor, you got to help me out. And I'm like, boys, we believe every word of the Bible. I was like, but we got to be careful how we act these out. Okay, Pastor, I won't hurt nobody. One time we had a guest speaker, and old Jacob was standing behind the pulpit. I don't know how we missed it. And the guest speaker was preaching, and Jacob was grabbing the preacher's leg. And the guest preacher said, now, son, I don't think you ought to be in this spot. Well, they went out into the playground. They told this family, hey, you got to come to our church. We have the jug. I mean, they went around that military community and said, hey, you got to come to our church. Hey, man, if you're from Kentucky and you talk about the jug, that's not good. You're down in Tennessee. That's not a good thing to be doing, man. So this guy comes over and he says, hey, what's going on at this church with the jug? And so James said, our pastor has this big coffee jug. We put money in missions. And he said, every year we send it, we give it to a missionary family. Well, sure enough, that young couple came And that morning they heard a clear presentation gospel. Karen had the kids in the children's church. And during the offering time, you saw dad giving money out to the kids. But the most precious part of was it that dad met Jesus Christ, walked the aisle, and got saved. I think about a couple years ago, we were over at Beale Air Force. Karen and I, we helped a guy start a singles ministry in a serviceman center type ministry. And there was a young man that came that got saved. We talked to him about the Lord. He got saved. And he came for our singles luncheon. Karen cooked like 25 people, chili for like 25 people that day. And I'll never forget, he came. He said, "Wait a second." He said, "My wife goes to something like this. And she's at Fort Gordon." I said, "Really?" I said, "Was it a ministry?" He said, "It's just a ministry like this." He said, "There's a couple that feed the soldiers every Sunday." And I said, "That wouldn't happen to be Steve and Lucinda Martinez, would it?" And find out there was an AFBM missionary at one spot. Her husband got saved. And she was at Fort Gordon, Georgia. And there was an AFBM missionary at that spot. And the wife got saved. Tell me that's God. Amen. It was amazing. We were sending pictures. And, I come back when we were in college, Pastor. We didn't have FaceTime. We didn't have Messenger. We didn't have nothing. College, hey, where's all them? We were suffering for Jesus. Amen. The soul saved. I think about old Jim and Karen. Old Jim came, started coming to church, and he was a backslidden. He was old Southern Baptist. His grandfather, he was saved, born again. He kept coming to church, visiting. All of a sudden, God worked in his heart over there in Kosovo. Got called to preach. God has used his family over the years. You say, what is it's about souls getting saved. Then I think about not only souls being saved, saints being sanctified. Don't get scared of that word. Sanctification says God has set you apart. God thought so much of you individually that he set you apart for his service. That tells me everyone at Fairhaven Baptist Church is important. I'll guarantee you go to Pastor Dameron and the staff, they have a place for you to serve. Amen. There's an opportunity. And because of sanctification, everyone is important to the work of God. No one ought to be left out for God's work. You're not left out. Then the scripture sought out New Testament churches being started. I'll close with this. I shared this earlier. There's some other things I could share, but for the sake of time. Over the years, I've learned the mind can only take what the seat can endure. Amen. And in closing, we had this family that was coming. They actually got a flyer, and they started coming to the church, and the boys were saved, and our ministry, and Scott was with the 10th Special Forces. And I'll never forget, we baptized them on Mother's Day for Debbie. She was reached through Independent Baptist Church over there in Wiesbaden, was saved, born again by the grace of God. Well, Scott, he was a Lutheran, but he was born again. He gave me salvation, a clear testimony of salvation. So we got a chance to baptize them for Mother's Day. We baptized them in the Marriott pool, amen, over there in Stuttgart at the Marriott. And they're like, "Hey, Pastor, let's just go swimming afterwards." But it was great. Well, Scott was very humble. I remember one day we began to talk, and he began to tell me a little bit about his service. And, of course, you know what the Special Forces is. Then there are the guys that go take out Osama bin Laden and things of that nature. And he began to talk to me and about service. He said, "Pastor, you were in the Army." I said, "Yeah, I was kind of once." I said, "So what do you do?" He said, "Pastor, I still don't know what I'm doing." And to find out, he began to tell me one time how much C4 that he stuck on the door, and it blew all the way down to the stairwell, messed up his ankle. And one time my door was stuck, and he picked my lock at my house. He's like, "Pastor, I'll get right in there." He picked a lock at my place we were living. Then the military sends him to this school where he could break any kind of alarm system. So he gets back from the school. He's like, "Pastor, you ain't going to believe all this neat stuff I learned." I said, "What's that, Scott?" He's like, "Pastor, I hope that you and I never have to go in business together." I said, what do you mean? He's like, there's things I should not know as a Christian that I'm like, I could get any kind of alarm system. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting, Scott. He jumped so much, he would train these guys jumping out of airplanes. He came in one time, he's like, Pastor, my watch is not working. I said, what happened? He said, I took a hard landing today. He did this like every couple of days. He was a jump master. One time he brought in that cord. I said, Scott, what happened? He said, oh, a guy got hung up. I had to cut him, Pastor. He's like, oh, he made it. He had to pull his spare chute. He got down there. Scott was unique, and I'll never forget. They were getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan. And I said, Scott, is there anything we could do? We had several care packages ready. We were sending care packages. And Scott goes, Pastor, he says, there is something you can do. He said, would you come pray for our team? And I said, well, you think that your chaplain might? He's like, Pastor, he goes, you pray different than the chaplain does. He goes, the men need to hear you pray. I said, okay, okay. He said, we're kind of the SF. We kind of do things our way, Pastor. He says, now don't tell everybody that. Okay, so fine. But we got down there. We prayed with these group of special forces. And I told him that we had churches all across America praying for me, that we loved them. We sent them, they went overseas. We were sending care packages. And within a couple weeks, that unit was hit by rockets and a firefight. And I'll never forget, news got back, and Scott's Kevlar was sheared by a end of a rocket. Sheared his Kevlar. Of course, Debbie was concerned. My dear wife went over, spent all afternoon and all evening with him. Just loved on him, prayed with him, calmed. Asked the Lord to calm her spirit, prayed with the boys. And I continually, I remember Scott calling one night. I said, Scott, I just want you to know people are praying all across America for you. He said, Pastor, thank you. He said, Pastor, for some reason they gave me a new team of SF. He said, even though these guys are highly trained, he said, when them first rounds go off, there's a little bit of freeze and they got to get through that. And he said, I got the new team. A couple weeks later, he was in another firefight. And for some reason, instead of rolling this way, he rolled this way, and rounds were going right around him. And them guys, after they got done, they say, hey, Scott, is your pastor still praying? We sure need prayer. And he said, I'm sure your pastor's praying, and churches all across America are praying. I'll never forget the time it was for that family to rotate out. They were going to Carson. And I'll never forget one of the things they stood up and they said, Pastor, we're so thankful that churches across America would think enough to send you to the mission field to love on us and take care of us. He said, it was at this church that my boys learned to pray and learned to talk to the Lord. They got saved. They've learned to pray. And he said, I'm ever so grateful for a missionary being in this area. Well, you never pastor people when they leave. You put them in churches. You want them to serve. Well, last year, we got a call. Karen got a call. Debbie and Scott was out again on a mission, and it was Nick's wedding, the senior now. We had him when he was just right before his teenage years. And so now he's graduating college. His wife is graduating as an engineer. He's graduating this year. But he was talking to his bride-to-be, and he said, honey, if there's anything you would want, you know, she said to Nick, she said, Nick, what would you want from the wedding if I was to allow you to just do anything? Because normally it's customary for the bride's church, the bride's pastor and everything to do the wedding. And he said, honey, he said, I'd like pastor to come and do my wedding. And she was all excited about that. So they called us and called our family. They said, we would want you to come perform our ceremony. Now, you got to remember, overseas, you can't always perform weddings. So here I am doing my first wedding in all these years, Pastor. See, you all over. My pastor said, hey, if I knew that, I would have handed some off during the summer to you. You know, so I'm trying to get all this. I'm under the pressure, man. I was sweating. I'm afraid to ruin this girl's wedding, man. I was nervous. So we got there, and God put them two young people together. We had counseling time with them. You say, what's the significance of that? It's that they got older, but they remembered a church that was reaching the military. And that little mission church affected their life. You say why? Because like churches like Fairhaven Baptist Church would think enough about our military around the globe to send a missionary. Whether it be to the military, whether it be to Africa, whether it be to Asia, you have that burden. So don't never think, can you do it all? No, but little as much when God is in it. You are playing a significant part and what God is doing missions around the globe. Let's pray with heads bowed, eyes closed.